All this week, we've been taking you to the Detroit Auto Show to see what's new, what's groundbreaking, and what's just plain fun. Current State Scott Pohl is here with one of those just plain fun stops at the North American International Auto Show. Hi again, Scott.
Hi, Mark. You know, this may sound like just plain fun, but you have to wonder if this one has a much more serious future than you might think at first. On the main floor of the auto show, you can see a massive 3D printer, and it's printing a car. You heard me right, it's printing a car. And if you venture to Hall E in the Kobo Center, you can see the finished product. That's where I met Lee Herge. He's chief operating officer of the Chandler, Arizona-based Local Motors.
Well, it allows a couple competitive advantages, namely speed and a lot less upfront investment in tooling. So we're able to experiment quickly and actually bring models to market much more quickly and much cheaper than the conventional stamping method. This allows a reduction of the barrier of entry into the automotive world. You know, where the typical car company will spend $200 million on tooling, we're able to effectively have a $1 million printer and a routing system and be able to scale up, you know, on that one set of tooling as many different vehicles as we want. So we're really eliminating that barrier of entry, which is the cost of tooling that the traditional automakers currently have. We also use co-creation for our design efforts. So we're using the power of web and, you know, a community of 60,000 different enthusiasts to help with our designs.
Start to finish in the printer, how long did it take to build the car we just saw?
In the printer, it took 44 hours. It then required around 6 hours of routing time, and that's preference on look. That can scale up or down depending on the design chosen. And then it took another about 5 hours to assemble. So 44 hours to print. We're working on reducing that time. We have a target of 12 hours. We think we'll be in the 20-hour range probably in a couple months. And then as we look into printers with multiple heads and changing our flow rate speed as we get better, that will come down quickly.
Does that vehicle make street-level safety standards?
The material will. We do intend to crash test. The current design of the Strati is not intended to be a typical street car. It's currently, we believe, it would pass NEV standards, neighborhood electric vehicle standards, and we intend to, in April, release a new design that we're moving forward with full highway safety standards.
What are the materials? It seems plastic would be the simple answer, but there may be a more complicated answer than that.
Sure. It's actually ABS reinforced with carbon fiber that's chopped. It's currently an 80% ABS, 20% carbon fiber blend is what we're currently working with. In the future, we intend to have different parts of the vehicle have different percentages of carbon fiber, obviously to reduce some costs. And then we also believe that we'll be able to create crumple zones using different thicknesses and different materials in order to pass those safety requirements.
For people who aren't seeing the vehicle like I am, they should know that it's not completely printed. There are steel parts or metal parts here. What's the total makeup of the vehicle aside from the printed portion?
Aside from the printed portion, we use the current vehicle as an electric vehicle. So obviously we get a conventional, just like you'd have in any EV car, battery, motor, drivetrain system. The suspension components are still off like a normal street vehicle that are either steel or aluminum. And then same with the steering inputs that connect to the suspension. And really that, we pad up the seat area, so you're not sitting on the hard carbon fiber. Have a conventional steering wheel. We do have a Lexan windscreen, which is plastic, but we didn't print that. And then really that's about it, besides headlight, taillights, normal off-the-shelf LED, normal halogen type of taillights and headlights.
What does this mean in terms of body weight? Is it lighter, for instance, than what we might expect in a street-legal vehicle of a similar size?
We do believe when we get the street legal vehicle, we'll continue to work on varying thicknesses. We will be lighter. This is about comparable in size and weight to aluminum. So we're going to be very competitive with aluminum and lighter than steel. But gross vehicle weight will roughly be 10 to 15% less.
Tell me about the future then of Local Motors. It's nice to be here at the show with a vehicle that will be eye-catching and attention-getting. But what's the future hold for your company?
So this year we're going to be opening two new facilities, one in Knoxville, in the shadow of Oak Ridge National Lab, where we've done a lot of our work to date, and also a facility in Washington, D.C. in National Harbor. Both those facilities will be dedicated to 3D printing compared to our current microfactory in Chandler, which produces the Rally Fighter using more conventional methods. Both those facilities will be online this year. Knoxville probably in the June to July timeframe. National Harbor 2 to 3 months after that. They'll be scaling up to make around 3,000 vehicles per location. And we hope to show that design in New York Auto Show.
If I wanted to be the first in line to buy one, when might that be?
Now. If you want to be the first in line, we could negotiate that.
Well, I'd be first in line. When would I take possession, I guess, might be the next question.
We intend to deliver in 2015. So by the end of the year, we intend to deliver vehicles. We tend to have 100 vehicles delivered in the third or fourth quarter.
Lee Herge is Chief Operating Officer of Local Motors, showing off their printed car at the Detroit Auto Show. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Scott, so now you have something a bit more conventional for us from the auto show.
Yeah, that's right. Cadillac is showing off some new cars at the auto show, including cars that will roll off the Lansing assembly lines this year. Cadillac's chief executive engineer, David Leone, is excited about their new high-performance offerings.
New this year, we're bringing two new V-Series products to market. The all-new Cadillac ATS-V, which we announced in November at the LA Auto Show, first being shown here in Detroit, in both coupe and sedan form, and the all-new Cadillac CTS-V. Both of these products are produced at our Lansing Grand River plant in the hometown of Lansing. The CTS-V is our highest power, highest output Cadillac ever. It takes a sophisticated, refined luxury vehicle and a track-ready machine and rolls them into one package. And we power that up with 640 horsepower, 630 pound-feet of torque. It's capable of propelling the new CTS-V from 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds, and it has a top speed of 200 miles an hour. And it's the perfect expression of the passion that exists at the core of the Cadillac brand. And that comes to you from our Lansing Grand River plant.
Some people will hear 200 miles an hour and say, whoa, I can't wait to see it or drive it. Others will say, why do we need 200 miles an hour? What's your response to both of those statements?
Sure. First of all, it's not something that you should try at home. All right, it's only intended for the track at those speeds. But a car that's capable of going that fast and being stable at 200 miles an hour feels rock solid at 70 miles an hour on the freeway. And the steering precision that's there at the lower legal speeds is so precise and so direct, and it's so well controlled that it shows you the bandwidth of the car. And so, no, you can't drive at those speeds without losing your license, and we don't want you to, but we want you to know how capable it is. And it's just an expression of the real performance capability of that car and of the Cadillac brand.
Are there places people can go and drive this vehicle at speeds approaching 200 miles an hour?
You need a long track, okay? And one of the tracks that we use for top speed testing is TRC, Transportation Research Center, outside of Columbus, Ohio. That's one place that you can run that speed. We also use the Nürburgring in Germany as another primary testing grounds for us. And the straightaway there is almost long enough to get there. But you have the ability to test it out on tracks around the world, around the country even. I mean, we use Monticello Motorsports in New York. There's the Autobahn Club in Chicago. There's VIR, Virginia International Raceway. So there's courses all over the country that you can use, but it takes a long straightaway to get there.
What's the fastest you've had it yourself?
Me personally, probably 160.
People listening to this will be jealous when they hear that.
I'm a very fortunate individual to be able to lead the team that develops the cars. You know, it takes an army of talented men and women from all disciplines, from design, from engineering, from manufacturing, from marketing, to be able to bring a car like this to market. And I'm just very fortunate to be able to lead that team.
What kind of challenges had to be overcome to achieve those sorts of statistics?
Well, if it goes that fast and it creates that kind of power, the more power, the more heat rejection. The more heat rejection, the more cooling capacity you need. The more cooling capacity, the more airflow you need. And airflow and drag are opposing requirements. The more airflow you get, the more drag, the tougher it is to achieve your top speed. And so you have to balance all that. You got to manage airflow. You got to manage airflow into the motor compartment and out of the motor compartment. If you get it in there and you don't get it out effectively, you create lift. Cars don't go fast if they have a lot of lift. And so you got to manage your airflow so that it's efficient and effective.
Almost the opposite of airplane design.
Absolutely. They want lift. I can't afford it. So.
But you don't want too much either.
No, you don't. And so actually this car with its track package actually creates downforce so that the faster you go, the more downforce you get. And that helps you get around a corner and through a corner quickly because the more downforce you create, you get the tire patch loading higher. You're capable of more lateral acceleration, more cornering speed. And so those are all the things that we balance on a high-performance luxury car.
Having worked on the engineering of this vehicle, it must be exciting to finally see it about to be on the street.
It is. You know, these cars have gestation periods that are longer than elephants. Elephants are about 27 months, and these are at least 3 to 4 years. And so we've been working on it that long, and it is finally very pleasing to be able to talk about it in public. Because up until now, mum's the word. We can't mention it to anybody, including family members. And so it's actually relieving to be able to talk about it and show it here in press.
Final question, is there a desire to exceed these sorts of standards at Cadillac in terms of horsepower or top speed? You just finished saying you can't go into detail about what's next, but
sure.
Is there a desire to exceed these standards?
You know, we continue to elevate the brand with every new product that we bring out. And it may not be in higher top speed, okay, but it's in many other areas, in new technologies that we bring out. It's in new comfort, new safety features, new infotainment features. And so, yes, every new product that we bring out is intended to elevate and raise the brand. V-Series does that. But the cars that we bring out later this year, and we'll be talking about them again, and I look forward to the opportunity. We have a couple new more models we'll bring out this year, and each one of those will expand the brand in the appropriate direction, but for maybe different performance features.
Well, people in Lansing will be excited to see these vehicles roll off the line in Lansing. David Leone is Executive Chief Engineer with Cadillac. Thank you.
Thank you very much.